Welcome in once again to our podcast. It's called Lexington Stories, Lore, and More. I'm Alan Lytle, joined in the studio with Fiona Young Brown. She is the author of Secret Lexington, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Hello to you.
Hello, Alan.
And we are recording this podcast at a time right after the United States took on Bosnia-Herzegovina in the World Cup, and they won. And so their next opponent will be Belgium. Why do I say all of this? Because this is kind of the World Cup-themed, international-themed edition of Stories, Lore, and More. And we're just going to go wherever the conversation leads us. But it's there are many, many places, Fiona, where a person, a Lexingtonian, can feel, I want a taste of Europe, or I want a taste of another continent. And we're going to go over some of those great places in Lexington where you can hang out and lose yourself in, an international flavor, if you will. And as a matter of fact, I bring this in because you just got back from an international trip of your own.
I did. We went to Tanzania for 8 or 9 days, which was definitely not long enough, especially given that it took us 40 hours to get home. And four flights. So
that sounds like a story and a half.
If you go, then definitely book a longer trip. But yep, we spent some time in Tanzania on safari and then hopped over from the mainland to Zanzibar to do the kind of beach, the Indian Ocean and everything there. It was wonderful.
And how were you regarded as American?
I actually traveled on my British passport. The visas are cheaper. But for the most part, it was a lot of people. Everyone there was incredibly friendly, I have to say. We'd really love to go back. For the most part, people were very welcoming. I mean, it was interesting because at the moment, Tanzania and Zanzibar especially is seeing a huge influx of Chinese investment and construction and so on.
And you saw that a lot.
Everywhere. I mean, there are huge road projects and so on. And you'd ask the locals and they'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, more Chinese money. But we have no idea when it'll be finished. You know, 2 weeks, 2 more weeks, 2 more weeks and so on. And so it was interesting to see that happening because a lot of people that chatted to us were like, oh, you're American. Great. I've heard a lot about America or seen a lot of it on TV, and then would be quick to point out, but we're not Chinese. So at the moment, there's kind of a suspicion on that side about kind of the current investors, shall we say.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so what were some of your favorite places that you did visit?
Definitely the Serengeti. I mean, that is just incredible. If you want to see wildlife and be, you know, have a lion right outside your vehicle and so on, then that is the place to go.
I've got that Toto song in my head, you know, on the Serengeti.
Yeah, bless the rains down in Africa. Keep singing it a lot. We sent videos back home to friends with pictures and with that dubbed on it. So, I mean,
it's inescapable, okay? I mean, everybody feels the same way.
Yeah. I mean, the wildlife and the landscapes and the people there are incredible. But also Zanzibar was beautiful in a very different way.
Billy Joel has a song called Zanzibar.
See, I did not know that. Otherwise, I could have sung that.
I think it is on 52nd Street. But anyway, I digress.
We'll have to go back now so that we can sing.
Now, listener, play that song and you'll know what I'm talking about. All right. So
Zanzibar was fascinating in a very different way. You know, it has an incredible history that we didn't know about. So we were learning about the history of Stonetown and that side of the continent's slavery history. Also the home of Freddie Mercury of Queens.
Zanzibar?
So, yes.
Oh, I
so
did not
we
know
did
that.
Go to his birthplace and the museum about his life.
What do they tell about that? If you're talking about a tour guide or whatever, and obviously do they do it in English? I mean,
yeah. everyone that we met spoke English. It was kind of scary for Americans who think they're doing well, just maybe learning a few bits of one other language. We were incredibly surprised because everyone we met, I mean, the tour guides, so on, spoke English, spoke Swahili, and then multiple other languages. We were on the the minute you step onto the beach, people will appear trying to sell you different tours and days out and trinkets and so on. And so finally, by the last day, my husband was getting a little kind of, you know, I just want to admire the view. And so he replied to one guy in the little bit of Russian that he knew of, I don't understand. And the guy responded in Russian.
Oh, really?
He said, oh, I speak everything. We had one guide who was like, oh, yeah, I'm learning Estonian and I speak Romanian. I was just blown away by the sheer linguistic diversity.
That's amazing.
Well, and there was a real sense of, you know, we get so many visitors here. We get so many visitors from around the world that now speaking English is great. Speaking French or German is really, really handy, or Dutch. But the more languages we can speak, the better it makes us as guides, you know, the more clients. And so, yeah, by the time we met ones that were talking about learning Estonian and so on, I was like, really? Oh, wow, now I feel, you know, pick out my Google Translate app.
Well, and I can circle back now to the World Cup and how this global event has sort of shined the spotlight on many, many different countries, many, many different cultures. And as we are recording this, Britain is still in the tournament.
For now.
For now. They're going to take on Mexico next. And so, again, this is just one of these moments in time. And, you know, if you're a Lexingtonian or a Central Kentuckian and you want to get more of an international flavor and it doesn't involve going on watching television, we have these different places where you can go in Lexington and in Central Kentucky where you can maybe feel a little bit more a part of the international community. So what would number one be?
I think there's lots going on in Lexington, festivals and so on, but I think the obvious introduction to any culture is food.
Yes.
I mean, food, who doesn't love it?
You keep talking, my stomach is going to start to growl. It's just
and I actually came back from Tanzania last week, like, okay, I need to find all of the African grocery stores in town, you know, try and find different ingredients. And also I was looking, you know, we'd been staying at places with fresh tropical fruit just picked off the tree. And I was standing there in the grocery store looking at the one like, okay, it's kind of the same.
Came in on a truck, don't know from where.
So I would definitely, I mean, obviously restaurants, but I also think there's so much fun to be had just from finding the local international grocery stores. We've got a lot of African ones, a lot of Asian ones, also Middle Eastern. I went to the Middle Eastern one out in Beaumont earlier this year. I decided I was going to, you know, cook a big fancy meal and so on, and I wanted to get the authentic ingredients. And what I love every time I go to an international grocery store like that is whoever is in there all become completely entranced by the fact that you are there and what are you making, what are you buying, no, you should use this instead of this, and, you know, so all of them standing there looking at my basket and kind of,
trying to guess.
Here. Take
you don't want that.
You want
this. if you're really going to make that authentic dish, this is what you need.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love that. So, yeah, definitely. And you know what? Also, it's okay to go in somewhere and ask, what do I do with this? Or what is this? What do I do with it? What is your favorite way to prepare this? And you learn so much that way.
Exactly. There's the key. Learn. Mm-hmm. How else are you supposed to learn except by doing or asking somebody?
Yeah.
And somebody who knows.
Just, you know, I have never seen this vegetable before. What is it? And
how do you use it? How do
exactly,
you eat it?
Exactly. And somebody's saying, oh, well, you can do this, but trust me, my mom does it this way. Mm. So I always think food is a great introduction to any culture.
The gateway, if you will.
Exactly.
So we have the grocery stores. Mm-hmm. And then we have the places where you can enjoy a prepared meal.
I'm not going to assume that you all want to run home and cook. So.
Certainly not me. No way.
And so, yeah, we've got tons of international restaurants locally. I do wish this my one. I do wish we had some more African continent restaurants. I love Queen of Sheba, but that's up in Louisville. I know there is an Ethiopian one, maybe an Ethiopian food truck as well here.
Well, we used to have a great one in Sav's Grill.
Yeah.
Now Sav's is basically stepped down and made it more Sav's Chill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so there is an Ethiopian place out at Gray Line that I would highly recommend.
Do you remember the name of it? Put you on the spot.
I want to say it's Ethiopian Kitchen. I think it's probably that. If not, that's the food truck, and I'm very sorry. But I think it's Ethiopian Kitchen. It's something that's very, you know, this is what we are.
Well, we should invite our listeners just to go to Gray Line and find out for themselves.
Exactly.
There you go.
So obviously you've got that. Lots of choices for Mexican food in town.
Seemingly endless, yes.
And I will let people argue amongst themselves about what is authentic and, you know, what is Tex-Mex, what is American style, and so on. I'd argue at a point that anything is going to have a certain Americanness to it. But
fusion, if you will.
But also in that case, again, I've been to a few, and when you started going to them regularly enough, you realize that the local immigrant population that come in might ask for a different menu or might order something that you haven't seen on the menu. So again, that's kind of a nice little way of learning some other dishes.
Pay attention. Observe. Yes.
Lots of Asian restaurants, obviously. Having lived in Japan, I'm a big fan of anything sushi, but I'm also kind of particular about it. My favorite here in town is actually Zundo.
Zundo.
I love it. I included it in Secret Lexington because it makes its own ramen, but it also has the cutest little robot cats that bring your food.
This is a story I did not know about until I picked up your book.
They have the most adorable robot cats. And when they bring your food, by the way, pet them.
Where is this place?
This is out opposite Bellinote in that little, just off of Nicholasville Road.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
One half of it is Zundo, where they make their own ramen. You can have your ramen bowls and various other dishes. And then the other side, which opened last year, it's kind of attached, but Toku. It's the conveyor belt sushi.
Oh.
Which, if you haven't tried before, is kind of fun because you sit there and all the little plates go by. You grab whatever plates you want. And if you want to order anything special, it will arrive on a little...
Does it come round again?
Yes.
If you miss it?
Yes.
That would be my first
question. But you
are
sitting there then thinking, oh, don't take that. I hope no one else in the restaurant takes that.
So it's kind of a contest in this way.
But you can also order stuff to be specially made, and that will come to you on a little race car on another track above. And that's kind of fun as well. So you've got plenty of Asian options. Obviously, Lexington has a number of sister cities, including Deauville.
Yes,
France.
Absolutely.
And so there is Le Deauville downtown for your French cuisine.
And where is that downtown?
That is on Limestone.
Le Deauville.
Le Deauville.
Okay. All right.
And then if you want just good old German beer and sausage and all of the carbs, then Marika's on Southland is a must. They do have beer from just about everywhere around the world, so you don't have to stick to German beer. You can have Icelandic beer, Kenyan, your British sticky toffee pudding beer.
Sticky toffee pudding beer.
Yes, I actually was...
Care to elaborate on that?
Well, it's a beer that tastes like sticky toffee pudding, supposedly. I actually was less than impressed by it. I'd prefer to keep my beer and my sticky toffee pudding separate. But so Marika's has a huge selection, and they have really good German food. But I do warn you, my weakness with German food is that I see the menu, and potatoes, sausage, I have to try that sausage and that sausage and that sausage. And then it comes and you quickly realize just how full you are.
So you mentioned the carbs.
Yeah, you kind of feel like a bowling ball for a while afterwards.
Well, the secret is, and I think it was Ben Franklin, moderation in all things. So like maybe two spoonfuls of this and half of that. And it's easy to say that.
When does that ever happen?
You have to have tremendous discipline. And I do not. So there you go.
Well, I always go in with the best of intentions. You know, I'll always order the sauerkraut or something, you know, because that's a vegetable. So I'm being virtuous and so on. But that really doesn't last very long among the potato pancakes and the dumplings and everything else. But I still recommend it.
Yes. And we have to say, sorry, Germany. Germany did not make it to the knockout round, unfortunately.
I know. Yeah. I'm sorry. But you can have a commiseration
meal. They're crying in their beer.
In the beer.
If you will. Sorry, Germany. There's German people in my family, so I have German roots.
And who knows, by the time this goes out, who knows how many more of us may be commiserating.
The United States might be bounced, and England as well.
Yeah. So I was actually sorry to see Scotland go out, because their fans had made such an incredible impression. And when we were flying back at Amsterdam Airport, our flight had been delayed. We were bumped onto another flight, which was overbooked. And there were two Scottish fans in full kilt and regalia who were flying, and they were being told they may not get on the flight.
Oh.
And
they said, listen, laddie.
And they were trying
to get me on that flight.
They were trying to get there for Scotland's game the next day. I thought these two are going to either cry or strangle someone if they do not get on that flight.
They went all Highlander on them.
I was very pleased to see they got on the very, very back seats of the plane. But they were and Atlanta was filled with Scottish fans all making their way to Miami. So.
And when they went to Boston, apparently they almost drank the city dry.
I did see that. I am so proud of you, Scotland.
And, you know, shout out to Norway, who has introduced us all to the, you know. It's a syncopated rowing.
The Viking row.
That's what I love
about this kind of tournament, that, you know, you just get these little bits of different nationalities and their quirks and their teams' fandoms as well that just kind of take everyone over for a while.
Yeah, it sort of unites the world for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
Of course, there are political undertones, as in any international competition. But by and large, people have just gotten a window into other parts of the planet that they may not even think about until this time rolls around again.
Exactly. And you mentioned Norway, and I think every time I open Instagram, I am faced with pictures of the Norwegian team, and they've become huge, huge celebrities.
They have a player that I just have dubbed King Olaf, because he just looks, for all the world, like a warrior. Erling Haaland, I believe
yes.
is his name. Yeah.
And somebody also posted the fact that every picture of him running on the field just makes you want to run away and be like, don't let him catch me.
If he's on that side of the street, I'm on that side of the street. Wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. Yeah. So how did we get so far afield? Back to the other international cuisine offerings. There's obviously great Indian food in this town as well.
There is. There's a lot of Indian food. I didn't include them because they're not really part of the World Cup. But, you know, once...
Billions of people there.
I know. So I would highly recommend. And also, if you haven't tried Nepalese food...
What's the main difference between Nepalese versus Indian food?
Well, I mean, first of all,
suddenly this is splendid table. I'm sorry.
Indian food, I mean, itself has a huge variety based on the region, the part of the subcontinent and so on. But we went to Everest on Alexandria Drive, is Indian and Nepalese. And so, you know, we kind of like to try a bit of both when we go. My favorite Nepalese dishes that I've had there, you have to try the little momo, which are like little dumplings. I mean, it seems as if every culture has some kind of a little meat-filled dumpling that is, you can get them steamed, you can get them fried, you can get them in very hot chili sauce, you can just get them, you know, fairly plain with vegetables. Those are well worth trying. And the other thing that is always...
We have, like, pigs in a blanket.
There you go.
So, you're right. It's okay, yeah.
Meat in dumpling or pastry shell, mm-hmm. and you're good to go. The other thing I've tried there on their Nepalese specialties, I really wasn't sure what to expect. You kind of get a metal tray as a serving platter, and it has little piles of everything. So you'll get some little piles of meat, some little fried rice. Well, not fried rice, like puffed rice. So almost like Rice Krispies.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Exactly. and it's a good way to try a lot of different things. So, yeah, Indian cuisine, lots of that in town. And I do love good spicy Indian food. Nepalese. Trying to think, what else do we have in town? You should all be pretty hungry by now listening to this.
I certainly would think so. In fact, I think we will post a disclaimer. You listen to this at your own risk, but it'd be a good idea to be full. Or else maybe you won't even stay till the end because you'll be ordering out.
Maybe listen to this, then take a long walk
there
after
you
the food.
Go. Yes, yes. Especially if you've loaded up on carbs and German beer.
You may not have the energy to walk at that point, or the ability, depending on the beer.
Okay, places then.
Yes.
And you had mentioned one in Georgetown for this idea of a Japanese garden, correct?
Yes. Yeah. If you haven't been to the Yukoen in Georgetown, it is a Japanese-style park. So it is just a very peaceful, serene place to go and just kind of enjoy some of the more zen side of international culture, should we say. So when the World Cup is getting too much for you and the cheering and everything, you can go and wander through tranquil nature.
Japan was in the tournament. They obviously got bounced out, didn't make it to the knockout round. But the Japanese culture, the idea that they definitely pick up after themselves. Every time they would be in the stadium, they would stay an hour, 2 hours, cleaning up where they sat.
I always think that's so, having lived in Japan, and then so every time I see one of these tournaments and people are like, the Japanese fans did this. And they're always so impressed. I'm thinking, and will you now do the same? Hint to listeners.
And we circle back because I'm sure that place that you just mentioned will be very pristine.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely gorgeous. I think they also now host the Japanese Kite Festival in the spring as well, which is one of the many international festivals locally that's worth going to see. The kites are, if you think of a kite as just a piece of diamond-shaped fabric on a string, you're really missing out. These kites are beautiful works of art. Although the festival's always in April, and so it's always kind of tricky because you want a certain amount of wind, obviously, but you also don't want too much wind that they have to cancel the festival or postpone it. So,
yeah, it's a very, very small window there.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to be just right. But I do recommend the Yukoen, it's called, and the Japanese Kite Festival.
All right. Other gathering spots with an international flair.
Let's see. Well, if you want something, assuming we've already eaten, we've watched our soccer, so now we're feeling a little more perhaps cultured, refined. The UK Art Museum and is always a good spot just for any, a completely different look at international artworks.
International art, artists there.
A lot of European works, but also a lot of Asian works. And that's, partly because of Toyota's presence in Georgetown, it's pretty easy to find a lot of Japanese and East Asian style artwork, culture, and so on. So I would recommend that. And going back to the festivals, again, those are a great way to combine food, dance, and all of the different facets of a culture in a day or a couple of days that's fun for everyone, and you just get, who doesn't love a festival? So.
Yeah, I can think of one in right, top of mind, and I think it's in September, the Latino Festival,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Or Festival de Latino, will be in Lexington again this year.
And that is wonderful, especially I loved the Parade of Flags when the... We tend to stereotype and assume that everyone is Mexican. And so when you watch the parade of flags at the start of the festival, where local residents are all parading under their different countries' flags, and you'll see about 20 different flags, and that's a really nice reminder to everyone that there's just this huge diversity. And it's a great festival, yeah. The dancing, it's really great to see. The
food, the culture.
Yes.
Yes.
To see it all come together for just a couple of days of celebration and fun.
Other festivals.
Let's see. Well, I did just miss the Swahili Day Festival.
Yes, you were actually in Africa.
I was in Africa. How dare they? But that happened in June. We have in August, there is Diversity.
Oh, yes.
Which was supposed, I think it was originally scheduled for earlier this year, and then weather.
I think they got rained out.
Yeah.
And then it was rescheduled.
So it is now going to be in August, and that will have, last I heard, about 70 different nationalities, countries, and cultures, and so on represented. So there you go. You can get everything all in once.
Yeah, I believe Global Lex, the organization, mm-hmm. is a key aspect there.
Yeah, so that
key
sounds
organizer, shall
that
say.
Sounds definitely like one to go to. As you mentioned, the Festival de Latino in September. Also, sort of on the verge of this, but the Roots and Heritage Festival in September as well.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at African and African American culture,
and that's one. I think it's the longest running.
I think
in Lexington or in Kentucky for that matter, the longest running.
Yep.
We'll do a little fact check, and maybe you can help us there. Fact check, but I do believe that it's one of the longest.
So I think August and September, but you've really got kind of something almost every weekend for a different culture. The other thing that I've found is there is, I know at some point during the year, there are at least one or two different Hindu festivals through some of the Indian restaurants. And so one of the things I always notice when I go to eat at, say, Everest or at some of the Hispanic restaurants and so on, is just to look on the notice board or see what posters are on the door, because quite often you'll find little local festivals, celebrations, and so on. And you'll find out about them that way. And those are always fun to go to as well. Just kind of, you know, another international learning cultural experience.
Oh, yes. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the HAPPI, HAAPI. That just finished, I believe, in May. Yeah.
Okay.
There was a big festival there, too. So, you know, quick shout out to Dan Wu and everybody there.
Yeah. So there's a lot of them. I know there's the big few that sort of take up downtown, but there's also a lot of smaller ones, or maybe they haven't been going for as long and so aren't as widely established. So definitely keep your eyes open when you go to local restaurants, stores, and so on. You never know what you may actually find is going on at the weekend or near to you.
And speaking of, we can take out a map of Kentucky and we can plot out a trip all around Europe and other places. And we'll start with, let's say, Frankfurt.
Exactly. We can start in Frankfurt. We can then, let's see. This actually, when I first moved here, and even now, this still sometimes confuses friends and family in the UK when I'm talking to them. And I mention, oh, you know, what did you do this weekend? Oh, we went to Frankfurt, or we went to London, we went to Paris, which obviously for them living in the UK or in Europe means something very different.
Absolutely. Or Athens/Athens.
That is true. Athens, say it correctly. We saw the mini Eiffel Tower in Paris.
In Paris, yes. Yep. Yes, indeed.
So who needs to travel?
And we also have our own castle in Versailles. Or near Versailles.
We do. And I'm going to point this out because France are still, I believe, the favorites at the moment to win the World Cup. But yeah, you know, I've been to the Palace of Versailles. It is beautiful. It is very crowded. It takes a long time to get there. And, you know, you could go all that way or... Well, you all know by now because we do talk about it a lot.
Just about every podcast ends with the castle
and the sails. It manages to work its way into every conversation. But you know what? You could go to the Palace of Versailles or you can go to the castle in Versailles. As my husband said, you know, France has 17th century. We have mid-century modern, but it's still a castle.
And it's still a trip.
There you go.
There you go, castle folks, right there. Mark that.
That is your mention. Do we get paid for the number of times we mention them?
I think we're probably starting to get some letters there.
And I'm definitely not saying don't travel because I love traveling as much as possible. But we also know that that's not always possible for time, finances, or whatever. But that doesn't mean you can't just have a little taste every now and again of something different to really kind of get you interested. And who knows where, you know, trying the empanadas at the Festival Latino, who knows, that may lead to then in 5 years' time you're traveling somewhere because it really gives you that bug about a new culture.
Yeah, I want to know how these foods are prepared authentically. Well, go where they actually prepare mm-hmm. those foods authentically.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can take a staycation and make the most of it around mm-hmm. around Kentucky. And still preserve some of that this zest for learning about different cultures.
Exactly.
And, of course, we are recording this as the World Cup is still playing out. I believe it's late July that it all comes to fruition, if you will. But we have our own soccer teams here, professional soccer teams in Lexington, and they have certainly been the ambassadors to this world of the World Cup.
We do, and I think it's been really fun for me as someone who grew up in a soccer-playing nation. You know, that was just on TV.
And you all called it football, too.
We do. We call it football. It was on every Saturday afternoon. You kind of knew that everyone would be watching the football. And so it's been interesting to live in a country where people are really kind of discovering, over the last 10, 15 years or so, have really discovered the sport. So, yeah, there are now so many opportunities for kids to learn to play soccer. Or if you've just enjoyed that kind of feeling of watching a match and want to go to one, then, yeah, Lexington Soccer Club here in town has regular games, matches, depending on your devotion to the sport and what you call them. But yeah, you know, go along, support the local because you never know one of those players could be playing in the next World Cup. You never know when the next major star is going to be discovered, and it could be right here in your local sports team.
Yes, and there were members of the Lexington Soccer Club that were co-hosting a watch party at the Kentucky Theater the night that the United States defeated Bosnia-Herzegovina.
I did not know that. That would have been fun to go to.
Yeah, well, hopefully Great Britain will prevail over Mexico. They'll be, you know, decided
underdogs. Apologies to my Mexican friends, but you know I have to root for England.
Yeah. And at the time of this taping, the United States is getting ready to take on Belgium without one of their major scorers because of the controversy of Balogun, who drew a red card for something that a scrum, if you will. I don't pretend to know everything about soccer. I'm one of the new converts, if you will. But you marry someone from South America, and all of a sudden you're watching Telemundo, and you're watching a lot of soccer. So, but they did point out, other people did point out, that Messi did that in a game earlier in the tournament, and he didn't even draw a yellow card. So, yeah, we'll see how all of this plays out. You know, by the time that you all are listening to this podcast, because it takes a while for us to put it together and put it out, hopefully both of our teams are still in it. But if not, this will be a souvenir or maybe a painful reminder.
Exactly. We're recording this the morning after, so, you know, there are still some raw wounds at the moment from that red card last night.
Absolutely. We are spoiling for it, but... We want to thank you, Fiona Young-Brown, and the author of Secret Lexington, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. That's not just the only book that you have put out, though. Plug the other ones.
Well, since we're talking about food, or we have mentioned food, I would have to give a shout out to A Culinary History of Kentucky, which will look at a lot of your traditional Kentucky favorites, but also really look at the different influences that various immigrant cultures had in helping to develop those recipes. So you've kind of got a bit of the international, but also a lot of traditional Kentucky in that.
And how do people get that book?
That is available at all local bookstores as well. It's A Culinary History of Kentucky, and it has lots of recipes as well. So, you know, you can read, highlight the pages that you want someone else to make for you, give it to them as a gift with a hint.
Well... We've given our listeners a lot to think about and a lot to plan, so let's get after it. Thanks again for joining us today on Lexington Stories, Lore, and More, and we'll see you next month.